Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Lee, this is going to be a fantastic segment. It's part of our Thought Leader Radio series. I think you're going to have a lot of fun with this one. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast owner at Artworks Art Studio, Miss Lisa Mares. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for asking.
Well, Lisa, can you tell us a little bit about Artworks? How are you serving folks?
We're an art studio for children, and we provide birthday parties, art classes, field trips, parents' night out, venue for parents to go out and drop their children off. And we just try to let children be creative and open-ended and provide lots of materials for them. And, of course, we do a lot of instruction, so they do get some knowledge, but we always let the knowledge go wherever they want to after they've learned the project.
Now, is the art studio primarily painting, or is it sculpture, or are there different
mediums? It's everything. That's a great question. We do a little bit of everything. We're a full-service studio for children. We do clay, paper mache, wire, wood, collage, just every medium. I mean, the only thing we know is blue glass. That's why I joke with people, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, why
We're
is
not
it...
glass blowing.
Not yet. Who knows what's ahead, right?
Right.
Why is it important for you to serve this children and to kind of get them to have an appreciation of the arts?
Well, as we all know, schools are taking more art out of the education system due to space and funding. And I really feel that with children being on technology and not being able to play outside as much as they used to, free roaming play, they're just lacking in, you know, making choices. And I believe art is an avenue, well, not only visual arts, but, you know, dance and music as well, is a great way for children to express themselves and their feelings and to feel like it's their own. So I believe it's really important for children to be able to explore materials.
Now, in your experience, have you seen kind of, maybe you can share some stories where you've seen a transformation for somebody that maybe wasn't exposed to art, and then a child kind of blossomed when they kind of found a gift that they maybe weren't aware they had?
That is a great question, because I've seen many children come in and say, I really don't like art, and I can't believe I'm here, and my parents brought me. But after a few times, they go, I get this now, you know, and even small children. At first, they don't know what they're doing there, but then they figure it out, and they say, this is so amazing. The best quote I have in the 22 years I've been in business is a little girl screamed really loud, said, this is better than Disney World. And we all just stared at her, and we were all thinking, well, not quite, but, you know, pretty much up there.
Now,
you know, but they do.
I've seen, I've had some people in the studio tell me that if you ask a child that's in kindergarten or you ask a class who's an artist, then everybody raises their hand. But by the time they hit like fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, you ask who's an artist, then only the people that can draw raise their hand. And
that's correct.
To me, that's a tragedy.
Older children.
That's a tragedy to me. And it seems like your work is really trying to foster that artist within everyone. Is that what you're up to?
True. The older a child gets, the harder they, you know, but if they start really young and keep with it, they keep it. But if they start later, they don't keep it because they don't get it as much as a younger child going through. And that's the tragedy. So starting really young is good for children in any skill, you know, music, dance, anything, you know, it is a skill. Art is a skill. Creativity is a skill. And if they're not exposed to it early on, then as they get older, they lose it, or they don't. You know, if they never had it, they never will get it. It's that way. I've seen that when older children come in the studio, they just look at me like we're all crazy. But if they come in early and we see them grow with the business, like been going there 5, 6, 7 years, you see how they have a different appreciation for art.
Now, what was in your background that got you to take the plunge into opening up your own studio?
Well, I have a degree in philosophy, and I always did educational philosophy projects in school. And when I had my own children, I did home child care because I didn't want to put them in a daycare center. And I got picked for an accreditation program to become a nationally accredited family child care provider. And one of the projects was to come up with a business that reaches a bigger population. And so I came up with Artworks. And my husband is the one that helped me come up with the idea because I said, I can't think of a project. He said, you should just do an art studio for children because all you do with the children anyway is art. He was kind of frustrated because we had art all over the place. And I said, oh, yeah, you're right. And I started doing research, and this was in the early 90s. There was not any art studios for children in the whole United States. I did a lot of research. The only people that were doing art with children were museums, and then they weren't doing it to the best of, you know, child appropriate anyway. So that's how it started. I had to do that project, and I had to come up with a studio, and I had to name it, and I had to find a location. They made me pretend like I was really going to open one. I had to do a business plan and everything. Then it was just easy to open it because I had already done all the work.
And you saw that there was a need for this service?
Definitely. The phone rang off the wall from day one.
So in some ways, the schools getting rid of the art program might be good for your business.
It is. It wanes in and out. Schools value it, but they just don't have the funds. So they'll do it, and then they won't do it, and they'll do it, and they won't do it. It's just an oscillating, revolving door. It's really sad that it's not consistent. But, yes, it's really a good business because the schools do lack the funding and the time and space.
Now, are you seeing that children they seem to be consumers of technology and they're consumers of art, but they're not creators of it? And there's some disconnect in that. Do they have it mentally that they can't, they're not good enough to be an artist? Like, what typically holds back a child?
The lack of exposure and the lack of practice, because it is a skill. Creativity is even a skill. We often don't think of creativity as a skill. Some people think you either have it or you don't, but you really do have to practice it, just like anything. To become a good dancer, to become a musician, you have to practice, and it's the same way. So if children practice it early on, they can keep it. And with schools not providing creativity and technology taking the space of free time, you know, it's a sad thing that people aren't exposed, children aren't exposed to materials. I keep using that word materials because materials are not only paintbrushes and paint, it's learning how to use tools. You know, we've gotten away from that over the years. Children don't know how to sew on a sewing machine. They don't know how to use tools. They don't know what a drill does and a saw. It's sad.
So now in your studio, they get to kind of touch, feel, and play and use these kind of materials in order to create their art?
Yes.
And
get to build and, you know, sculpt and paper mache and, you know, redo things if they don't like it, you know, to fix it. And that's what it's about. It's about trial and error.
Now, do you find that sometimes the child is afraid to start because it's not going to be good, and that kind of thinking about it has to be perfect rather than, you know, it just has to be, is, you know, kind of intimidating for them?
Yes, that happens all the time. Children say, I don't know where to start. And then we just tell them, we're always preaching, please don't worry about what it looks like. Just do it. Doing is more important than what it looks like. That's what we always tell them. And when we have that idea and that philosophy in their brain after a while, they really don't care what it looks like. And then, you know, to start. And then as they do it, they start caring.
Now, is one of the outcomes for the child that they're going to be good at whatever the medium is that you're using? Or is it they're just going to be kind of more appreciative of art? Like, what does the parent think they're getting?
Well, there's lots of goals. One of them is to appreciate art appreciation, aesthetics. And one of them is just you know, problem solving. Like, this isn't working, and how can I make this work? My sculpture's not standing. You know, we talk about balance and top heavy, and it's just a lot of vocabulary and a lot of thinking about things. One time I was at a conference and I had a table, a booth about artworks, and a man came and approached me and he asked me, I want to know why you think children need to do art. That was the weirdest question anybody had ever asked me out of the clear blue. And I just said, they need to do art so that when they buy their first house, they know what walls to knock out and how to tile their own bathroom, you know? And that's what I've stuck to all these years. Children just need to know how to take on a challenge.
Right, because I could see some people think, oh, well, art's frivolous because that's just for entertainment. But to me, it has more value than that.
A lot more value. It's not just entertainment. There's just so much going on. You know, it's just even hard to explain because there's so much.
Well, I just
talk for hours about it, you know?
Right, and I think that the mining a child's creativity and letting them see what could be rather than what is critical for a child's development.
Yes.
Now, for you, can you walk me through what it's like when I bring my child for the first time to artworks?
Yes. If you come to a class, you know, we introduce you to everybody in the classroom because art is also social, which a lot of people don't see. You're learning how to share materials. So we introduce the child and then we tell them what we're doing. If we're in the middle of a project, we help them get a jump start on it. If it's a project that takes 2 or 3 weeks, and we get a smock on them and we show them where certain things are that they may need. And then we just start creating. And sometimes they're just baffled because children that have been coming all the time feel very comfortable there and they feel a little awkward, you know, and we just help them feel at ease about it. We also have what we call open studio, open art, where children just come in and play with a whole bunch of different stations. We have 12 different stations, a Play-Doh room, a paint room, drawing, collage, just all kinds of stuff. We take them on a tour, obviously, so that they know what to do. And then we say, you can do whatever you want and use the materials as you want. You can even go do part of the project over here and then bring it over here and finish it off with this other materials over here. So we're just teaching them to use and manipulate, again, materials.
Lisa, this is Stone talking here. As I've been listening to you and Lee have this conversation, so much of what you've said with respect to children, young people, I'm thinking, wow, I'm seeing those same dynamics. I've observed those same characteristics in my adult friends, my adult staff in my company. So a great deal of what you guys are describing, both the characteristics and the benefits and the potential outcomes, they can apply to I guess you'd say children of all ages, but adults, right?
So glad you brought that up. It's true. We get stifled as adults in creativity as well. But once we start doing it, so many things happen. It's just so freeing, you know, liberating to create and just to not care about what it looks like, but just to do it. That's why all these canvas places are popping up all over the United States, where you do a step-by-step art project. I'm really not for those types of projects because I'd rather you do your own thing. But at least it gets people doing something, you know what I mean? Something's better than nothing. But yes, that's why, you know, it's great for team building events, for creativity, for your coworkers. It's good to get together and do art because we all need it. It doesn't stop at age, you know, 10. It should go lifelong. You should always be creative or practicing it. Because it's a skill. Remember, I keep saying that it's a skill.
Yeah, and if you don't exercise that muscle and cultivate that skill, I'm operating under the impression it's much like many other things in life. If you don't use it, you lose it. If you're not gaining some ground, you're losing it, and it might not ever be found. So what I think I hear you say, if I had a Business Radio X studio, if my studio was in San Antonio instead of Atlanta, I could bring my team in and we could have some sort of structured, it's probably not the right word, but semi-structured experience, right, that could actually yield a team-building result, objective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it. All right, I got to go.
We do that all the time, actually. There was a man, he had his retirement party at Artworks, but it was a surprise party. So he didn't know he was having his retirement party at Artworks. And when he walked in, he just kind of looked around and thought, okay. And then I said, hi, you know, and I introduced myself. And I set it up in centers, and they got to go wherever they wanted, just like the kids do in the 12 different centers. The projects were a little more challenging than you know, gluing and pasting and Play-Doh. But they all had so much fun, and even the guy that retired, he goes, this is the best retirement party I could have asked for, you know?
Now, do you have any stories you can share about moments that you're most proud or things that you've done that kind of make you proud about your work?
Well, I really do love my work because I've seen so many children blossom. I mean, it's therapy, too. Children that are struggling and sad and depressed, I've seen their, you know, moods and their outlook on life change as a result of art. So overall, in general, I see disgruntled, you know, mean children turn into nicer children. There's something about creating an art that's almost spiritual, and it's an awakening. So out of all the things that I've done in the 22 years with Artworks, I just see the joy that it brings. And if you just need, you know, materials to bring joy, bring on the materials, you know?
Sure.
Because it's not that big of a deal.
Now,
it's just sitting out. And I think part of it is because I said it was social. Art is social. And children enjoy being with other children and adults that guide them. And it's in this busy society and working parents, I feel sometimes they just lack being with people. You know,
and it seems like you create a very collaborative environment where the kids are helping each other and then adults are helping. And since there's no real wrong answer, like they're everything's going to be a win. It's going to be a positive experience.
Yes, exactly.
Now, is there any tips you can share for parents about helping their children become more creative?
Yes, I always think that it's great for children to be able to have access again to materials, and it doesn't have to be a lot of things. But if they're bored, they can just go and create. They can glue and paste and cut and draw and paint. I mean, it's just not that much stuff. It could fit in a shoebox, you know? It just stuff to do stuff with. Materials, fabric. Teaching children how to sew keeps them busy for hours. My favorite camp at Artworks is sewing camp because kids are so busy and they're quiet. You'll turn the corner and there's 20 kids sewing, and you're thinking, I didn't even know there was a child in the room because they're so busy. They want to be creative, children do. They want to be able to see something and say, wow, I did that. And if we don't give them those, wow, I did that moments, what kind of adults are they going to be? What kind of workers are they going to be in a company? That's another thing. We're teaching children to be, you know, workers.
Right. They're
a project.
Right. They're creators instead of just consumers. And I think that's an important distinction. Now, are these classes appropriate for maybe some kids that have special needs?
Yes. We have several artistic and Down's children that have come throughout the years. And they do fine at Artworks. They really like it because, you know, nobody's judging them for what they're doing or how they're doing it. They're just doing it. They're just creating.
Now,
they really do well. They do well.
Now, how do you think that your degree in philosophy has helped you in your career here?
Well, because I did do a lot of educational philosophy projects, and especially learning about, you know, intelligences by Howard Gardner. I don't know if you've ever heard of Howard Gardner. He's the original psychologist that came up with the way we come to know things. And he came to say that we are all different in the way we learn, and there should be different learning styles for everything. So I applied a lot of that to in my home daycare and in the art studio, because not every child's going to want to do sculpture. Not every child's going to want to draw, but they do want to do something, you know, and they gravitate to what they love. So if you find what they love and latch onto it, they're happy. And So I believe that my philosophy just is a scope of helping me see what each child needs.
Now, what do you see in the future? How what's next for you guys?
Well, I actually franchise artwork, so the artwork studio that you contacted me through is actually a franchise. I just sold it to one of my longtime employees. I'm still involved because it's a franchise, but I sold it to a girl that had a master's degree in art education, and she's very young. She bought the business when she was 24.
Wow.
And she kept telling me, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. And I go, I'm going to help you, and you're going to do fine. And she's been doing it for about 7 months now. She's doing a great job. And, of course, she does come to me. But I would love to see, you know, this concept worldwide. And it's not worldwide. My daughter lives in Sweden, my oldest daughter, and they don't have any art for children.
Wow.
They don't even have it in schools. They don't even have it in the schools. And we think of Sweden as a
progressive,
very
right.
forward country. And I don't want to just find that country. There's other countries. A lot of countries are very academic, and they're not very open-ended and creative.
Right.
You know, they're creative when it comes to technology, though.
Right.
That's a whole nother creativity. But just aesthetically and musically and in dance creative, not so much for young children. And that's a problem. I always tell her, I'm going to come over in the summers and start doing summer camps in Sweden. And she goes, you should.
Now, so you're looking to franchise. So how many franchises do you have going?
Two. Two franchises. We have them both in San Antonio. One is, they're about 15 miles apart.
And then, so you're looking to expand outside of Texas and just put them all over the place, huh?
Maybe. That would be good.
Now, how'd you learn about the franchise process?
One of my clients came to me and said, I saw on your website, and this was in 2006, she came to me and she said, I want to do this. And so she's been doing it for 12 years now. So I wrote the package and everything. I did the legal work, and I just went to a lawyer to get it checked out, and he checked it, and he said, great, good to go. So I've been doing it ever since. And I sold mine as a franchise just because it was time. After 22 years, I needed to go do something else.
But now running a franchise as a franchisor, that's a totally different business than running an art studio.
It is, but they run so smoothly and everything's so in place that I get one phone call a week from them, you know. This lady said this, and I go, okay, tell her this. You know, that's what I do.
Right.
It's not that big of a deal. Everything's so in place that it runs smooth.
Now, have you identified the profile of a good franchise owner?
Yes. It has to be somebody that loves children and loves art. They don't have to have an art degree. I think a business person would be a better franchise owner because you can always hire creative, you know, teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But we have curriculum that we use and philosophies on how to present art to children and things to say, you know, like not never ask a child, what is it? Say, tell me about it. Because it could be nothing, you know?
Right.
So we just have all this in place. And a good franchise owner would be someone that likes business and family.
And it gives them the flexibility to take care of their family. They can include their kids, I'm sure, at the studio, right? Because it's filled with kids.
Exactly. My children grew up. My children were 4 and 18 months when I started artwork.
So that's
and now they're in their 20s.
And that's
a testament, too. My children have done very well for themselves, and they say that art had a lot to do with it.
Right. Yeah, you're not going to get an argument about that for me, that's for sure. And so you're looking right now, so that's probably your main job now, is looking for more franchisees?
I really am not, but I'd love to go to Austin, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be there. I'm not really looking for it, but if it happens, we have a franchise button on our website. If somebody wants to ask us about it, I talk to them. But I've interviewed many people, but I know right off, you know, 10 minutes talking to somebody, I say yes or no, you know, in my mind.
Right. So, because it has to be the right cultural fit. It has to be the right kind of philosophical fit, more important than they have enough money to do this, right?
Yes. It's very affordable, though. I said it's like buying a car, you know.
And
it's not like McDonald's.
And so if somebody wanted to learn more and have a more substantive conversation with you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
At my email address at lisa@artworkstudio.com.
And the website for the studio or for the franchise?
Yes. Yes. The website is artworksartstudio.com.
Well, Lisa Mares, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show this afternoon. Thank you for visiting with us and sharing the great work that you're doing.
Well, thank you.
All right. This is Stone Payton. It was our pleasure, too. All right, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest today, Lisa Mares with Artworks Art Studio, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.